Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chapman's one. End of first. That's the ball game. So the Giants take game one of this three-game series. Another ball game that you can say all you want, but torture is back. And the Dodgers now have lost seven straight.
Hello there. Welcome into the Orange and Black weekend wrap. Oh, man, what a great win. What a very, very fun, a little bit of a tense win last night between the Giants and the Dodgers. Giants win 8-7. Logan Webb getting his ninth win of the year despite giving up six runs and an absolute tank of a home run to Shohei Ohtani. Good morning to everybody out there on this wonderful Saturday morning. Days are always great the morning after the Dodgers lose and the Giants win. It's just even better when that Giants win comes while the Dodgers are losing. Dodgers have lost seven straight. Giants just 4.5 games back of their rivals in the NL West division. Good morning to our guys holding it down behind the glass, Steven Rizzotto, Zach Green, and of course, most important good morning of all, good morning to you, Dan Devone.
Dustin May, it's always a pleasure to work alongside.
Oh,
the slider wasn't
right
working last night.
Yeah,
for
you know, it's that offense, they just, when they get rolling, it's hard to get it stopping. And, I just wasn't feeling it out there on the mound last night.
Man, so that was fun last night. You were there. What was the energy like?
Oh, I won't say playoff energy, but it was definitely intense regular season game energy. There was, a good amount of blue in the stands, and that was noted by a couple Giants players post-game. We'll talk about that at some point. But it was a great atmosphere last night. Giants fans were into it, and it was just the – I don't care what people say, this rivalry is still going strong between the Giants and the Dodgers. May not be, cooking at, the high temperatures that it has been in the past, but this rivalry is still alive and well right now. And the atmosphere last night, it was tense. It was festive. Fans were into it. There was a lot of reasons to cheer for both sides last night.
Yeah, I would say it's cooking right now. The Giants are within four games. I mean, this was a boat race a week ago, and here comes San Francisco, and we hit the break, and they got a chance to win the series. Dare I even entertain potential sweep?
Oh, let's get through today first.
So, listen, I watched it at home. I guess the one question I would have for you or anybody else that was there, are the Dodgers the new sort of America's team? There was a lot of blue last night, and you could hear them last night.
No, you could, and unfortunately, yeah, there was when Shohei Ohtani was stepping into the batter's box, the booing and the cheering I thought was pretty even, I would say. I mean, maybe cheers just are naturally, a cheer is naturally louder than a boo, but I would say it was maybe 40 to 60 Dodger fan, Giants fans there last night.
Wow.
Which probably a little much. It wasn't the complete takeover that it has been in the past. You looked out towards the 415 section out in deep center field, and there was a lot of orange and white out there. It wasn't that sea of blue that it has been in the past when that Blue Oyster Cult Dodger group, Pantone 666, as
Don't
I like
fear
to call
the
them.
Reaper.
I call Pantone 666. That's the other name I have for it. When they like that Dodger fan group that comes and just takes over ballparks nationwide. It wasn't an all-out blue invasion, but yeah, still a little too much Dodger for my liking in the seventh inning stretch. It's another great example. You know, when it's the root for the, you know, Giants versus if you're the out-of-town fan, you say your team. It was, you can't tell what they're saying because the word Giant and Dodger just gets screamed together at the same time.
Cancel each other
just,
out.
It's just root for the, if they don't win it. So it's, you can't really tell in that sense. But I guess the fact that you can't tell, though, kind of shows just how many Dodger fans were there last night. But no, it was a fun game. It was a very, very fun game, especially that fifth inning when the Giants dropped five runs on the Dodgers to chase myself, Dustin May.
You know, when Shohei Ohtani came to the plate, and I know you, like any good Giant fan, can't stand Shohei.
Hate it.
I was not in the room, but I was in the kitchen, and I was headed to the living room, and I heard, you know, they always say it sounds a little different coming off of Shohei's bat. I was like, what the hell was that? Like, did I just drop a plate? Did I just break my ankle? What just snapped? And sure enough, Shohei, I look up and he's casually jogging around second base. That was fun. That was fun because I know you'd like to have it be a little bit closer, but for the Dodger fans and the people that are watching to see Shohei go deep, I think there's a lot of people that just like, hey, listen, man, he's the best in baseball and he did his thing, but the Giants won at the end of the day. I think really sort of the big takeaway for me, and we certainly can get into this game and we will, is that Logan Webb didn't have his stuff. Logan Webb wasn't Logan Webb, and yet they won the game, which is a good sign for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how often, I mean, you want to talk about that was, I felt like, I don't know if I would say totally statement win, because the Giants had a great win on that Friday night down in L.A. a few weeks ago and then lost the next two, but that was one of those, there was a lot of chances last night where the Giants, things could have fallen apart. You mentioned that Ohtani home run, which, what amazed me the most about that Ohtani home run, I was saying this to Risotto last night, who was also there with me. And also, you know who was there with me last night? It was Joe Spadoni, the current host of the Morning Roast. Dragged him down there because it's like, you know, dude, you got to learn what it's like to be credentialed at these games. Got to show you the ropes here. And I just looked at him. I was like, dude, it literally looked like Shohei Ohtani like half swung that bat. Half swung the bat. Like he swung it at half speed or half strength, I guess I should say. And just such a smooth, effortless swing. And he planted it 410 feet into the cove. The guy who got it, luckily, McCovey Cove Dave did not get it. No. So we're all happy about that. You know, there's one less ball that will be held hostage there. But the guy who got it jumps out of his kayak with his headphones on. Headphones were probably fried after that. Grabs the ball and just has the biggest smile on his face. But that was. I hate to say this, that was an incredible home run.
So our own Evan Giddings, if he wants to call in, apparently had a shot at that home run.
Really?
Apparently was within glove's reach. I'm hoping he didn't bring his glove. But
he did not bring his glove. You don't like people bringing gloves?
we did talk about
that's right. And yeah, you were dead wrong about that. Well, I'd say because that was a pretty high ball. So unless Evan had a 30-foot vertical, I don't know if he's coming down with that one there. But no, again, Dan, there were chances where things could have fallen apart for the Giants last night. They go down 2-1 after that Ohtani home run, and you're thinking, uh-oh. This team, this offense has to score three whole runs now. Like, how are they going to do that? And not only did they do that, they added two in the fourth, courtesy of Jung Hoo Lee and his triple there. And it could have been more, but out of nowhere, apparently Michael Conforto has an arm, apparently. Didn't know that was a thing. You look at the replay there. I thought Jung Hoo Lee was safe on that play. Bob Melvin, after the game, thought he was safe on that play. Was not really thrilled about where the umpire was standing on that play to see it. But then the Giants add five more in the fifth, and you're thinking, wow, this is going to be incredible. They're going to blow them out. This is going to be a party all night long. But this Dodger offense, they charge back there in that sixth inning. Chase Logan Webb out of the game. Randy Rodriguez has to come in, close the door, still gives up a run, but is able to shut down this, you know, comeback attempt. And, you know, Steve Rizzotto, he said last night, this could be a game that really shows you what this bullpen is about. And we saw it last night. Randy Rodriguez came in. He took care of business. Tyler Rogers, very quick inning. And then, wow, Camilo Doval. I don't think there was a calm Giants fan in that ballpark. There were 40,000 fans in that park last night. I would say, you know, 23,000 of them were Giants fans. And each and every single one of them, Dan, was on the edge of their seat when Camilo Doval came in for the bullpen to face Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Will Smith in the top of that ninth inning with a run-run lead.
And you knew somebody was going to get on.
Oh, yeah. You know, never a clean inning with Doval.
And when the minute Mookie went single to left field, I'm like, well, here we go. And maybe Doval's only comfortable when he's in those sort of situations. Yeah. And then, you know, Will Smith is, for a catcher, he's not an easy guy to double up. I think they mentioned on the broadcast that he'd only been doubled up four times. So you're saying, okay, well, that's not going to happen. So you got to go after this guy. And sure enough, around the horn, double play, let's go home. But that was a statement win. Now you just need to get one of these two. One of these two going into the break. And I think the San Francisco Giants will be sitting pretty.
Yeah, again, you said statement. I do like that. I think it's a statement win, but you got to follow it up with some action there. Like I said, they had a great statement win on that Friday night in L.A. a few weeks ago. And things kind of, you know, they ended up getting boat raced in that Saturday game. And then no one really cared about that Sunday game because of the news of Rafael Devers being traded, you know, 20 minutes before first pitch. Sean Jelly gets shoehorned into that start out of nowhere for his first start. And, you know, obviously that game, no one really even remembers that game because we were too busy going down Rafael Devers' rabbit holes last night. By the way, Devers, not a huge participant in the action last night. He did get a couple walks. One of those walks did start off that 5-run rally in the fifth inning there. But other than that, 0-for-2 with a pair of walks there last night for Rafael Devers. Jung-Hoo Lee, he goes 3-for-4. Jung-Hoo Lee, very quietly, hitting .355 here in the month of July. Mm-hmm. Granted, we're just about halfway through the month of July, but for as much scrutiny and frustration that Jung-Hoo Lee has been the target of from this fan base, he has been swinging the bat very, very well this month. He is still pulling the ball a lot, not as much, but he's still pulling it a lot. He's getting under it a little too much for my liking, but still driving the ball more. That triple he had last night was out to the deepest part of the yard, and it's probably a home run in a lot of other ballparks. But with Jung-Hoo Lee last night, he had a rough, rough night in the field, Dan. There was the Will Smith double in the sixth inning. Bounces. He took just a bad angle to it. We'll hear from Jung-Hoo Lee via his interpreter, Justin Hahn, later on in the show. But took a bad angle there. The Teoscar Hernandez ball out the triples alley. Bounces out of his glove. And then in the next inning, is not able to chase down a Mookie Betts double. That ball bounces up against the wall. He fumbles in picking up the ball, and that double ends up becoming a double plus an error as Betts gets into third base there. Usually Jung-Hoo Lee is better on defense than he is last night, but last night was just one of those woof kind of games from him.
Well, he only had the one error, though. So there's a lot of center fielders that don't get leather on that shot by Will Smith. So you got to give him credit that he was there. But listen, if Jung-Hoo Lee puts leather on it, he should catch the baseball.
Yeah, the Teoscar Hernandez one. I mean, it was not a great
Hernandez.
Yeah, that was not a great angle that he took on it. Some of the angles that he took, the Will Smith ball also, another not a great angle I thought that he did there. And again, these aren't huge issues I'm seeing from him on defense. Again, he's been a plus defender most of the year. This month, particular though, he's kind of been a bit of a defensive slump. But all this is to say with Jung-Hoo Lee, this is why he really needed last year. I feel like right now we're really seeing the effects of the fact that his rookie year was shut down on Mother's Day of last year when he ran into that wall and separated his shoulder. Like, if he went through all these growing pains last year, he would just be in such a better place at the plate and in the field this year. And I'm kind of curious, and I want to hear from Giants fans on this, 888-957-9570. As Jung-Hoo Lee continues to go through these growing pains, he's going to have ups, he's going to have downs, he's going to have great stretches, he's going to have tough stretches. There's going to be times where you're going to be dreading when he comes to the plate. There's going to be times when you're excited when he comes to the plate. I'm kind of curious how much patience and faith they're going to have in Jung-Hoo Lee going down the stretch here of this season when the Giants are going to be playing in a lot of meaningful baseball games with very thin margins for error when you consider the amount of teams they're going to be battling with in the NL playoff picture.
I think you have to take the KBO into account that they just don't play this many games, and he's never been through this before. So this is essentially his first time around. And, you know, he's still getting his battle scars. The one thing about, and this is just from a guy sitting on his couch, crushing a beer and eating potato chips, watching him play, is that he looks like a Deadpool hitter. With his open stance, it just, how is he going to go the other way? I just look at him and like, everything about him is like Deadpool. And so it's sort of, I don't know, you'd like to see him use the whole field, but when I watch him, I'm like, how is he, he's not even set
up. That's, again, like I've always said, like it's, he was doing that earlier in the year. You look at his spray chart, there's a lot of hits that he's put in the left field there. So it's definitely possible he has it in him. He's been doing a lot more lately. I do think there is a bit of a stubbornness on his end. You know, he's got a swing that's worked for him. He wants to make that swing work. But there's also a level of adjustment you got to make at the big league level. Sometimes you do got to adjust your swing a little bit because there's the whole, your swing got you this far, but you need to tweak it a little bit if you want it to take you further, because sometimes what works in the KBO is not going to quite translate immediately over to the major league level where the talent is a little bit better. The scouting reports are a little bit better. The ability to find your weaknesses is a little bit better. And it's going to be incumbent on him in the second half of the season to address those weaknesses quickly because, Dan, I think I'm not, I said this, I think, last week. And when the Giants got off to a 19-10 start, he was hitting .320. And I'm not saying that Jung Hooley was solely responsible for that 19-10 start, but I don't think it's a coincidence that in April, when the Giants were playing by far their best baseball of the season, Jung Hooley was a big part of that.
Yeah, and I was listening to somebody who was talking about, I believe it was Manny Machado, who had his 2000th career hit. And you believe Machado might go to the Hall of Fame? Wow.
2,000. That's actually, I think he is a future Hall of Famer. Wow, he's already at 2,000. He's only 32, right?
Yeah, so Machado.
He'll get close to 3,000, probably.
They were talking about Machado's early years, and so he came out gangbusters, and like, you know, we've referred to Jung Hoo Lee having to deal with this as well, is that there was a book out on him, and so everybody tried to go high and tight on him. And so it took him a while to realize that that's what they were doing, and so not to hit that pitch, but just wait for the mistake. So, and I think that's part of what Jung Hoo Lee, sort of his maturation, if you will, while people wanted to go low and away, like leave it alone and just wait for the mistake. Wait for them to come back into your wheelhouse. Easier said than done. I don't want to sound like Pat Burrell here. But I think that when you think about Jung Hoo Lee, he's sort of representative, I think, of sort of the mantra that might be applicable to Giants baseball in the first half of the season, and that is patience. It's like, we don't have patience.
No.
But we had to exert patience. When it came to Willy Adames, when it comes to Jung Hoo Lee, now when it's coming to Rafi Devers, we're all about, come on, you know,
we want
what have you done for me lately? You're as good as your last at bat. You're as good as your last game. And so this all, baseball requires a level of patience. For crying out loud, the Dodgers have lost 7 in a row. The Dodgers.
And you think that city is burning down to the ground right now with how they're taking it. And they're still 4.5 games up in this division. They're 4.5 up on the Padres. But they're still leading this division very comfortably. They're still probably going to win this division. I think it's their division until it isn't.
Certainly.
You know, I would love if the Giants would come in and make me wrong on that statement there, but that's one of those things, let's do it first before we start celebrating it happening. But
I mean, look at the Braves. I mean, the Braves aren't as good as the Dodgers, but that lineup a couple of years ago was the best in baseball, and it's the same guys, and they've been healthy. So sometimes baseball has
a weird sport.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm unlike most fans, Dan. I have a pretty high level of patience for the Giants and their hitters. You know that, obviously, from all the conversations we've had about Willy Adames, which, you know, Willy Adames is absolutely cooking this month right now. For the Giants, a couple hits last night, another home run for Adames last night, his 13th of the year so far this season, another triple as well for him. He has just been on another level. As I pull up the monthly stats here, he is hitting .361 this month and has just been a huge factor for the Giants offense. There's a time not that long ago, Dan, where there are Giants fans who already wanted to move off of him. You know, it was like, who would you rather, you know, see leave this summer, Jonathan Kuminga or Willy Adames? That was a question that people would haggle over because that's just where we are as a fan base. There is a level of patience that you need with this Giants team, and I know that that is tough these days, but I'm going to have that patience. I had it with Willy Adames. I was paid off there. I'm going to have that patience with Jung-Hoo Lee, because I do think there's an eight ball that he's behind this year that he needs to get himself out from behind. And it's going to be a grind until he does do that.
Speaking of patience, you know who's off the interstate? Who's broke off the Mendoza line?
Who's above
Patrick
it?
Bailey.
There we go. Hey, no, let's go, Pat.
It's a 202 batting average, I believe. But no, in all seriousness, I think he can only go up from here, right?
Yeah.
And Patrick Bailey he's not going to be your best hitter, but he's not as bad as he's been in the first part of the season. So again, there's part of that patience. I just think, Sam, that this team is sort of uniquely positioned for the second half. Like catching the Dodgers, you're right. The Dodgers, it's their division. That's the best team in the world. But San Francisco, after everything they've been through, and you just look at that team right now, where it looks as though they finally, not only this year, but I would say over the last 5 years, you're looking at that infield and that starting lineup, and you're like, hey, that makes sense. Like, there aren't any really glaring holes. I mean, we could go through a nitpick, but it's not like, I like Casey Schmidt at second base.
Yeah, it's the guys who are in this lineup. I still have some quibbles with the order of it, and I talked to Bob Melvin about that yesterday, and he's still, you know, working on what that lineup's going to be like. I don't know how close he is. He was kind of playing it close to the chest when I was asking him about this, about what that lineup's going to be looking like. But once they do get that consistent lineup, when you look at the guys who are in this lineup.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Sign up. They should be able to do not a murderer's row amount of damage, but this is a lineup that can get hot very quickly. And we saw it last night with that 5-run fifth. They could take off and they could put up runs fast. And you know, when they give this pitching staff their, you know, the run support that they deserve. Again, it was a rough night for Logan Webb last night. That was the first time the Giants have scored five runs in an inning in a game in which Logan Webb has started this year. He's not used to having long layoffs like that. And but this is absolutely a lineup that in the second half, again, not a 27 Yankees murderer's row or anything like that, and the Dodgers lineup is still, at the end of the day, pound for pound, going to be better than the Giants lineup. But this is absolutely a Giants lineup that, situationally, I know we had their issues running scoring position, they are a good hitting team situationally. I know they went through that slump, but I do believe this team is a good team situationally. They know how to adjust at the plate. They're smart hitters. This is going to be a lineup that, you know, I think it's crazy. The lineup might be as impressive as the pitching in the second half of the season for this team, which is really saying something when you consider how good the pitching is.
Well, think about it. Not only this year, but over the last couple of years, there's always been holes. The left side of the diamond, right? After Evan Longoria left, it's like, who's going to play third base until you got Matt Chapman? Brandon Crawford leaves. Last year's revolving door shortstop with Luciano and company was a joke. The right side of the diamond has had issues, obviously, at second base. The outfield, it's like, who's going to play left field? Who's going to play center field? And now suddenly you look at that team, and for the first time in a long time, you're like, okay, this makes sense. On paper, 1 through 9, I don't have nearly as many question marks as I've had over the last 5 years.
No, I don't think there is a position in this lineup you can look at and be like, you know what, I don't know about that guy. The only position that's going to be in any sort of flux the rest of the season is going to be first base. And that's because you're going to have a platoon of Big Dom Smith. He went deep last night, his first home run as a Giant at Oracle Park. Shout out to him for that. And in Wilmer Flores, obviously, he'll be the other half of that platoon. And I don't mind that because on the days, obviously, Flores is starting, he's one of your best clutch hitters, you know, especially with two outs running scoring position. He's a guy you can count on. And on the days that Dom Smith plays, you got Flores available as a pinch hitter late in games where you can pluck him into any situation and feel good about him coming through for you there. And considering how much they're going to need Flores in the second half, the ability to keep him off his feet every, you know, a little bit more often with Dom Smith being able to play first base, that's going to keep Flores fresh deeper into those dog days of the season, into late August, into September, and hopefully October, where his clutch hitting is going to be even more and more invaluable.
I noticed you didn't mention Rafi Devers.
We're going to get there eventually. I mentioned him a little bit. He had the two walks.
No, but I mean in terms of the first base position. You
So we did see Devers taking some ground balls at first base yesterday. He was taking a little infield with Adames and Chapman. I posted that video on Instagram, 95.7 The Game Instagram. Go check it out. The stuff I posted was, he looked pretty good. If you watched a little bit after I stopped filming, though, it's still a work in progress with Devers. Bob did mention something about Rafael Devers, and maybe we can get into this a little bit on the other side here, but he's dealing with a bulging disc in his back. I think he said like the L4 disc or something like that was he's dealing with an issue there, and they're having him manage it with pain meds. And that's on top of the groin issue that he has. And that was a little concerning. And Bob brought this up unprompted. I believe it was Maria Guardado of the Giants beat writer for MLB.com. She asked about Christian Kost. And he's giving the update on Kost, and then I know where, Rafi Devers, yeah, he's got a bulging disc in his back. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, and you're making him play, like, I am actually, and we'll get into this more on the other side, like I said, I am a little concerned with the health of Rafi Devers, and they're going to have him play through it. I asked Bob if there's going to be an IL stint. He was adamant saying no. He said no to an IL stint about Devers' groin last week. So they have zero intention to put him on the IL. All-star break could not be coming at a better time for one Rafi Devers.
Yeah, and I've got a bone to pick with Bob Melvin as it relates to one Rafi Devers. We'll do that on the other side.
We will do that on the other side. Before we go to break, though, shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. That's Sam. I am Sam Lumman. That is Dan Devone. We are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. Got a lot of fun stuff to talk about on the show today. And then 11 o'clock, oh, baby, Bonte Hill, host of Giants pre and post game. He also does some Warriors stuff, too. I think he used to do a show here at 95.7. Yeah, same old Bonte to me. He'll be joining the show at 11 o'clock. Get his thoughts on that game last night. He's going to be doing pre and post today as well. So we'll be sure to give him his takes at 11 that he will then take on to pre and post game at noon today. So stick around. A lot of stuff to get into today. 888-957-9570 is the number. Giants fans, I want to hear from you. Were you at that game last night? How exciting was it? How did that win? How juiced were you over that win? I'm fired up. I love beating the Dodgers. It's the greatest thing. It's like Christmas morning. That and more brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Back is Conforto. Be a rare night, Mike, where the ball is carried.
Well, you just don't see that many balls go out to left field off the bat of left-handed hitters. Now, as Will Clark would tell you, it happens in the daytime, but not very much at night.
Root for that. Oh, man. Yeah, there you go. That's a fun one. Dwayne Kuiper on the call there. That was Dom Smith's home run last night. Going opposite field, his first home run as a Giant at Oracle Park. Love some Big Dom, the real Big Dom, not that fraud standing on the sidelines out there in Philadelphia. That we got the real Big Dom here in San Francisco. We had a chance to actually chat with Dom Smith after the game last night, and we had a conversation and just kind of chatting about what, because he gets to work with Barry Bonds, and he's excited. It's Barry Bonds bobblehead today, day today at Oracle Park. I'm hoping to snag one of those bobbleheads myself, one of the more anticipated bobbleheads that the Giants have had. And we had a great conversation with him, myself, Risotto, and Joe Spadoni and I, chatting with him after the game about just working with Bonds and how much fun he has being able to pick Barry Bonds' brain. And he told a story about how, you know, Risotto brought this up, like he went and approached Barry Bonds. He ended up doing a 2-hour Instagram live video with Barry years ago, back in like 2016. You know, talk about hitting and stuff like that. And I asked him, I was like, damn, is it like scary going up to approach Barry Bonds? Like, is you're going to talk to one of the greatest hitters of all time? Like, he's like, yeah, it's a little intimidating, but you know, and eventually Barry did take him under his wing. And that's got to make you feel so good when one of the greats like that takes you under his wing and starts imparting his wisdom onto you. You know, there's his own natural wisdom he has, but then he's learned from so many great hitters like Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Bobby Bonds. And chatting with Dom Smith last night, you could just tell how fortunate he feels to be able to have such an incredible hitting resource right there. Because Barry he's there every day, Dan. I see him. He is right there in the batting cage waiting for anyone to come up to him and talk hitting with him. And he will talk hitting. He'll talk mindset. And all this to show, like, the Giants have such great hitting coaching available on that team. And you saw a little of the product of that last night with Dom Smith.
Including Will Clark, who maybe we can get into.
We can talk about that a little bit. Yeah, he created some news, then he got rid of that news.
But Dom Smith, while Rafi Devers is still a project defensively at first base, he is not when you talk about Dom Smith. There's something about, I like slick fielding first baseman, but it seems to be ratcheted up or even accentuated a bit more when it's a left-hander. I don't know why. It just looks so much smoother the way he picks it over there at first base. I got a question for you for his home run, again, because you were there at the park. Was the ball carrying the other way? It looked like there was crazy carry out to left field. Like there was a bit of a jet stream.
It was a little bit. I didn't see what the wind looked like before the game. NBC has that really cool graphic of where the arrows are spinning around.
Typically all over the place, like, but and changes from inning to inning.
It got chilly later on. I mean, it wasn't super warm last night. I thought it was a typical San Francisco, you know,
because his ball
evening
just seemed to jump out.
Yeah, no, I can't. You know, it just seemed like some of these balls were hit so hard. I mean, Adamas's was 104 off the bat. Shohei's was 106 off the bat. I could pull up what Dom Smith's was off the bat, but no, I didn't think it was a crazy warm night or the ball was carrying more than usual last night. I think guys are just. There's just a lot of guys who are getting a lot of really good contact last night.
Yeah, how about that 15 runs scored between the two teams? Usually in Giants series, you don't see that many games or that many runs. It was, I just enjoyed it from an entertainment standpoint. A little too close, I know, for everybody's comfort, but that was fun.
It was. So anyway, yeah, that Dom Smith ball, 99 off the bat. I'll say this. Dudes were just cranking the ball last night. Shohei Ohtani had a fly ball the previous inning against Logan Webb that went 381 feet. Oh, I love this from last night. So Shohei had a fly ball. Again, this was to end the fifth inning here. Shohei flies out to left field, and the ball dies right in front of the track, right at that 381 marker there. And then the next inning, Dom Smith comes up, cranks one out the left field that goes 379 feet, and that one's a home run. Shohei hits his 2 feet further, it's an out. Dom Smith, 2 feet shorter, it's a home run. Ugh, you gotta love baseball. And then Patrick Bailey gets a single off Dustin May. That was 105 off the bat. Going into the sixth inning, Logan Webb against Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman hits a fly ball 100 off the bat. That Will Smith ball that Jung-Hoo Lee misplayed, that was 108 off the bat. The Teoscar Hernandez double that bounced out of Jung-Hoo Lee's glove, that was 104 off the bat. The home run that Michael Conforto hit off Logan Webb that eventually chased him from the game, that was 105 off the bat. There are guys getting a lot of hard contact. Mike Yastrzemski, 104 off the bat on his double off Dustin May. Patrick Bailey hit a ground ball that went 104 off the bat. I mentioned Willie Adames' home run. That was 104 off the bat. Mookie Betts, the first hit of the game or the first contact of the game, had a line out that was 101 off the bat. So was it carrying? Maybe. But guys are just absolutely putting the wood on the ball last night.
Well, it seemed like everything was extra base hits last night. I can only remember, I think Bailey had a single. There's just a couple of singles in the entire game, or so it appeared. Everything was to triples alley. Everything was to the gap, or everything was leaving the yard. Everybody had solid contact last night. And again, maybe it's because Logan Webb had to sit so long, so it was uncharacteristically sort of not a strong performance, but that's going to happen from time to time. But the fact that you can outslug, and we had talked about this, can the Giants, who have been so reliant on that starting pitching and that exceptional bullpen, can they when the starting pitching and the bullpen, and there's a regression to the means and they're not on their game, can you still outslug an opponent? And apparently they can. Because
at least for one night they can. I don't know. I don't mean to be a poo-poo guy here, but I don't know if that's going to be an every night thing with this lineup. I know it's a good lineup, but to expect that level of production every night, I don't know about that. But to your point, though, they showed last night that what I love about this team the most, Dan, you saw it last night, they don't ever give up. They don't ever get, when they get knocked down, like, you know, Chumbawamba, they got right back up again. You're never going to keep them down. And that's what's great about this team. Tyler Fitzgerald said when he was up with this team a few weeks ago that, you know, during some of the rough stretches last year, they maybe would have panicked. This year, they don't. The mental toughness of this team is very special. Like, they never believe that they're out of a game. They never believe that a game is truly lost. They know that they can come back if it's a close game late, and they believe in their bullpen enough that if a game is close late and they're ahead, they feel very confident they're going to be able to hold on to that lead. The Giants are truly, as we saw on Wednesday night, they're truly a team where you got to get all 27 outs to truly put them away. And I think that mental grit, that mental toughness that they have, that edge that they have, that is a championship edge. And that, I think, is greater than anything they do at the plate or on the mound because, as Yogi Berra said, 90% of the game is mental. The other half is what's physical. The Giants are acing, I think, the mental aspect of this game. You'd see times in the last couple years where this team would have a tough walk-off loss or blow a big lead, and they would go spiraling for the next 2 weeks, and it would just completely put a massive dark cloud over the team. This team's had rough stretches this year, but there's never been a dark cloud. They push through it. They don't panic. They don't get worried. And while the rest of the world might panic when they're, you know, getting the bases loaded with no outs and not scoring any runs, this team's going to keep going throughout its process and trusting what it does. And I think that's probably the most invaluable asset that this team has this year.
And I think Willie Adames might be the poster child for that. As they say, Willie Adames never got his dauber down, right? I mean, he was a guy that the big contract, all the expectations.
The expensive cheerleader.
He was terrible. And he couldn't hit. And at a point early on in the season, he couldn't field as well. But you looked at the attitude, first guy out of the dugout to greet runners. He had that infectious smile. And now it all makes sense. So, yeah, there's certainly a buy-in there. And you can feel that there's something tangible with the Giants going forward. I know that you like to put that at the feet of Buster Posey. I don't know that I could go there. Maybe Buser has changed the attitude.
I think
there's
a Bob Melvin effect there too as well, because you saw it again a little bit last year, but more so this year.
But what I would say, and maybe this is Buster Posey, but there's something different about this year's team. There is a buzz back at Oracle that has not been there in previous years. They are selling out. There's a chatter around town. This is a team that over the last couple of years, I think that in another couple of weeks, the Niners in camp begin to dominate sports talk. Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors and Kuminga's he coming back. That begins to get ramped up. And it's, don't forget, this has been a Giants, you know, this is the closest thing we've seen to a, it was a dynasty. And all of a sudden, you know, that sort of dissipated. And I think that you're beginning to see those batteries being recharged, that there's a buzz, whatever the hell that means, out at Oracle again. And this isn't just an overreaction that they beat the Dodgers last night. No, go look at this in terms of the statistics and the attendance. They're getting 40,000 butts in the seats just about every day.
And those fans are Giants fans that are in those seats. Again, I know there's a lot of Dodger fans there last year, and Willie Adames, Logan Webb, they both said something about that last night. Definitely want to get to that at some point, too, if we can get those cuts on our soundboard there back in the behind the glass there, guys. So I'll play that in a second. Because, there were a lot of Dodgers fans, but Giants fans are showing up en masse. There are legitimate sellouts that are happening this year that are composed of Giants fans and not Giants fans and opposing team fans. And that has been very, very good to see. I want to talk about Bob Melvin and Rafael Devers in a second as well. 888-957-9570 is the number. Is there concern about Rafi Devers' health? Again, yesterday, Bob Melvin mentioned, I wish we had the sound for this. Unfortunately, my microphone absolutely crapped out on me when Bob was saying this. But Bob Melvin mentioned that Rafi Devers is dealing with a bulging disc in his back, a top of the groin injury. He's using pain meds to deal with it. They don't believe an IL stint is necessary, but that has been what's been slowing the transition to first base. Is there concern there? So I want to hear from Giants fans on that. I also want to hear from Mitch in New Jersey, because he doesn't want to trade for Josh Naylor anymore. He's got his sights set on bigger fish. So let's head out to the East Coast, talk to our guy Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, how you doing? You're on the wrap.
Doing well, thank you. How are you doing, Sam? Dan, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, of course, man. I'm doing great. The Giants beat the Dodgers last night. It's like Christmas morning 2.0.
Absolutely. I think the Dodgers are hurting. Maybe they got a pack, so maybe they'll make a trade. But I have another guy. But first, I wanted to mention him. You mentioned about Manny Machado, but your last name is Lovett. Isn't there a quarterback? He's going to be a first-round pick on Arizona State. Sam Levitt, it almost sounds like your name.
Oh, man, look at that. There's a lot of Sams out there. I'll have to look them up.
Okay. All right.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow!
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Yeah, all right, when you get a chance. I know you're a busy guy. Manny Machado, he's got a lot of RBIs. He might get to 500 home runs, and he might get to 3,000 hits, but they're saying he's been a Hall of Fame, so at least the RBIs gets in the Hall of Fame, but he's never hit 40. So that's kind of hard to believe. But I say the Giants, it might cost less and get to Josh Naylor. How about this O'Neill Cruz? I know 6'7", plays center field, but he's in 205. I know he's not a table setter, but they're probably pitching around him because they don't have much in Pittsburgh.
He does
hit and a great pitcher. O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah, he does hit the ball hard. Mitch, I'm curious. Like, you've seen him play in the defense, play defense in center field, though, right?
I've seen him catch a few games. I guess when Pittsburgh comes to the Mets.
Yeah, you know, all the balls that he kind of lets get by him and he jogs after it, that doesn't concern you at all?
Well, maybe he's tired of losing and then the bad ownership, Grace Dayham. Yeah, but that will lower the price, I would say.
Oh, I like that theory. How are you feeling about Devers so far?
A little concerned. We can't undo the trade. I think it'll come around. I mean, the money's guaranteed. I think he wants to play and earn it. And
yeah.
He's in a good situation. He wasn't in a bad situation in Boston. They spend money like it's going out of style, too. But we need another batter, and I'm not worried about Devers. I think he's a possible Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. And you got Barry Bonds. I mean, everybody should be talking to Barry Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course, Mitch. Call in anytime, right? Glad to hear from you. So. Yeah, he's not panicking about Rafi Devers.
I mentioned O'Neill Cruz last week. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know if you necessarily need him, but hey, listen, man, 6'7" and all those tools. I mean,
I definitely think you could use him. Absolutely,
that's just it. There are no needs on this Giant team right now, except that's in term of 1 through 9 position players.
Yeah, I would go that. I think once you get to the pitching side, there's some needs there.
Yeah. Do you want to go Verlander? Is that sort of where you're headed when you talk about needs in that starting rotation?
I definitely think there are. I mean, Justin Verlander, we talked with Alex Pavlich about this earlier this week. Verlander's not going anywhere in the near future. I think he's going to be in the rotation at least up through the trade deadline. And then that's where we're going to find out kind of what Justin Verlander's, you know, immediate future after that is going to look like, because I do believe the Giants do need a starting pitcher, probably like a 3-4 caliber starting pitcher, someone who can basically be their fourth starter in the playoffs. So I don't know what that looks like there. Could be a different Pirate, Mitch Keller. That's an option. I know a lot of people like the guy Cabrera out of, was it Edward Cabrera? Is that the name out of Miami? Rizzo, Zach, one of you guys, Edward Cabrera?
Yeah, Edward Cabrera. He's having a really good year, by the way. All of his peripheral and analytic stuff, for those who like that, all of that is up this year, and he's being viewed as one of the top arms on the market.
So that one, I think, is not going to be a Giants target because that's a top-of-the-rotation kind of guy, and I don't think the Giants are going to be going after one of those guys. I think a guy like a Mitch Keller out of Pittsburgh who's got a 3.50 ERA despite, you know, a 3-10 record. So he's been getting screwed by the offense. So he might feel right at home here with that sense. So I think that could be an option. A lot of people mentioned Sandy Alcantara, but that's one of those things where it's just like teams just think that they can fix him. You know, we can fix him. I can make him better. That, I don't know about that. So it's Verlander, I think, is locked in for the next 2-3 weeks. And we'll see about that after that. Ken in San Francisco, he was at the game last night, and I'm kind of curious where Ken was, A, sitting, and B, just what he thought of that game last night. Ken, how you doing, man? You are on the Wrap.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, last night I was sitting section 123. That's where we typically sit for Giants games, but the atmosphere itself, it's been a playoff vibe for most of the season, to be honest, with these sellout crowds, but last night in particular felt like our series in the NLDS against the Dodgers a few years back in 2021 felt like the same thing again. But my one concern, and the guys voiced it after the game, was there were so many Dodger fans there. It felt like maybe 60-40 Dodger fans.
Really? You thought there were more Dodger fans?
That was a little... What's that?
You thought there were more Dodger fans than Giants fans?
No, I would say like 40% Dodger fans.
Okay.
It felt like...
Yeah, I agree with that. So, how do you feel about
the one thing that's a little concerning?
Yeah, no, I hear you on that one. How'd you think about the rest of the game, though?
Rest of the game, I think I called about a month ago and preached patience. We were about like 2 games behind the Dodgers at that point, and I think now fans are coming to and being more patient with this team because we're going to grind it out. It's going to be one-run games, but seeing that they can score a 5-spot last night with the Logan Webb start. Means it tells me a lot about the resiliency of this team. So it's going to be a roller coaster ride, but I saw a lot last night that gives me a lot of hope. And I think at the trade deadline, maybe one more move, like you mentioned, about starting pitching and put us over the top, because in theory, like a Blake Snell is going to come back for the Dodgers. So that's my one thing. I want to counter that, that injury aspect of what the Dodgers are dealing with.
Good stuff, Ken. Thanks for calling in. So, yeah, you mentioned the Dodger fans. We're going to hear from Logan Webb and Willy Adames last night because they both noticed it there, Dan.
Every time we play these guys, it always seems like it's a great atmosphere. Probably a little too many Dodger fans in the stands, but it's always fun playing against them. Always a great energy.
Not going to lie, I feel like we had too many Dodgers fans today here. So, you know, maybe tomorrow we get more San Francisco fans. But, no, the energy was intense. I loved it. It felt like a playoff game, to be honest. You know, that's how high the energy was tonight. But, like I said, I loved it, and, you know, I love playing games like that. So,
there you go. That was a little whoosh-whoosh there at the end. But, yeah, too many Dodger fans there last night. Giants fans, need y'all to be showing up today. Don't be giving your tickets to Dodger fans. Let's show out. Let's be a little bit louder today and take our ballpark back, because honestly, I'm sick and tired of this blue invasion that keeps coming into my ballpark.
Coming down I-5.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of these people coming in and taking over my ballpark. I don't like these Dodger fans.
It's really sort of atypical for LA, which is so fair weathered. I mean, they wrote the book on arriving late and leaving early.
Mm-hmm. Got to beat that traffic.
Usually when you think about Los Angeles, you don't think about a rabid fan base when it comes to the Rams, when it comes to the Lakers. They love their teams. But this Dodger phenomena over the last couple of years is for real. Hey, listen, man, I'll take my hat off to you, because I didn't think you had it in you, LA. And look at you.
Well,
look
I
at
mean,
you actually travel.
Well,
you're
willing
to go into hostile territory.
Well, again, when for the last, you know, almost 8 years now, you've been a team that averages 100 wins a year. I think only, you know, 2 or 3 times over the last 7-8 years, excluding the COVID year, have the Dodgers not hit broken the century mark in terms of wins. So when you're that good, yeah, you should be getting behind that team. Like if the Giants were on the run that the Dodgers are on right now, this city would be exploding with orange and black. You know, Giants fans during their dynastic run, Giants fans were taking over ballparks all over baseball, just like the Dodger fans were. The only difference is when the Giants fans do it, you know, we're a good fan base, whereas the Dodger fan base is just not a good fan base. They're not fun to be around. They just got a dumb look with them, with that dumb little hat that they wear, and They all think, oh, Shohei's so good. It's like, that's great, but he bets on baseball games. So, like, what are you going to do with that information, allegedly? So, like, it's just gross when Dodger fans come into your ballpark, and I don't like it. I want to get them out. We should just barricade them from coming in. Obviously not, but, yeah, Giants fans, we got to take over our ballpark. We got to take our ballpark back.
You know, I grew up, obviously, a Giants fan at Candlestick when I was a kid.
OG.
And I think it was sort of, I thought I sort of misdiagnosed after being in years of therapy of what I thought was Dodger hate, that I think it was just LA envy. You know, I'd be at the stick with like 3,500 people just huddled around, and you go up to the concessions and there's like a line around the block for hot chocolate. And I just thought that's the way you roll in July. Like, you get hot chocolate and you wear a jacket. And I grow up and get a little bit older, go to Dodger Stadium. Like, well, where are you? Well, okay, yeah, you don't need to sell hot chocolate because it's 75.
You wear out. A t-shirt to games, yeah.
Everybody's pretty. Everybody has a tan. There's gorgeous women walking around. Like, yeah, I think it was envy more than anything else about L.A., but I still hate them.
Oh, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there with the envy. Like, yeah, obviously I hate the Dodgers. I would never, ever in a billion years be a Dodger fan. And I'm always amazed at people who can switch sides in this rivalry. Ironically, of my grandmother, my grandma Judith, she grew up a huge Dodger fan, and luckily she's, you know, all right now and everything, and she's a Giants fan, but it is possible. But yeah, I'll be honest.
Mike Kruko.
Oh, really? That's what he was. Yeah. I forget about that. So yeah, it is possible to switch sides. I would never switch sides. I don't know about any Giants fans that have gone over to become Dodger fans. Mm. It's always been the other side, so there must be some speaking there. But, yeah, no, the envy thing, there is a little bit of truth to that. I'll be honest, I would love to have Mookie Betts as a Giant. I think he is one of the coolest baseball players in the game today. I was watching him take some grounders at shortstop yesterday pregame, and it's just he just moves so fluidly out there. Mookie Betts is one of those guys that just is good at everything the second he starts doing it. And it's just incredibly unfair. He's one of the best bowlers on the planet. Joe Shasky, host of the Morning Roast, weekday 6 to 10, bumped into Mookie Betts at the Olympic Club on Thursday. He was playing a little bit of golf, and I'm pretty sure Mookie probably shot a 7-under or something like that. Just, you know, call it an off day afterwards. Mookie Betts, he is to me the closest thing to a modern-day Willie Mays. Like, I know Mookie's having a down year by his standards, but that is an incredible baseball player. And I am so mad that undeserving fan base down in La La Land gets to enjoy one of the few true, pure five-tool hitters in the game. It's not right. It's bad people don't deserve good things.
I'll give you Mookie Betts, but I'm a Shohei guy. They're actually, I told you this last week, they're hard to hate. But Freddie Freeman...
Are they that hard to hate? I don't have any issues with
as
it.
Long as you're wearing a Dodger uniform.
If you're outside the rivalry looking in, yes, then they're very hard to hate.
Freddie Freeman is just, he always rubs me the wrong way. He's like the prototypical Los Angeles Dodger. I do want to get back to Verlander because I'm going to defend the veteran, the long time, three-time Cy Young Award winner. I think he's fine.
You're not panicking on Verlander?
No, I think he gave up, two runs the other day? I think just like everybody else, and we talked about sort of the word of the day, is patience. I think there's nowhere to go but up for him. He's not going to go. He's not going to have that goose egg, the middle of a bagel the entire season. He is going to win a game. I don't think he's had a lot of run support. But I think you just have to keep in mind, this is the back end of the rotation. And so I read this past week. He's had 6 quality starts, which is 6 innings with going at least 6 innings or giving up 3 or less runs, which is about at the league average. I think he's been good at the not good, but I think he's been sort of what you expect at a guy who's, number 4 or 5 at the end of your rotation. I don't know exactly what it is the Giants are expecting out of him. If they want him to be that guy of 5 to 10 years ago, no, that ship has sailed.
Yeah,
but I think he's been, and I think he'll only improve. But to me, I'm not, jumping out of the trees like everybody else when it comes to Verlander.
You know, Dan, you're saying a lot of stuff that I agree with, and I'll explain why on the other side. First things first, though, let me grab my reads here. Coming up today at 1 o'clock, the Valkyries. We love our Golden State Valkyries. Shout out head coach Natalie Kotnikase and all-star Kayla Thornton. They're taking on the Aces in Las Vegas today, so you can catch that game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. That's going to be today at 1 o'clock. Giants, they're also playing at 1 o'clock today as well. We'll be having lineups for that game as well soon. Speaking of Ohtani, he is on the mound today. Can the Giants tee off on him? Wouldn't that be nice? That and more, your calls as well on the other side, all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.